And we were talking right before the break about crime in Chicago and how Graham and I were saying that how we wish that there were five solutions that were out there and we could pick one and get this done. But it seems like it is such a complex problem that every time we think we have it solved, more police or whatever the answer is, that the crime or the violence goes up. This year, we've had 300 shootings in just the month of January. 41 people killed on our streets. And there is one solution that has come forward. It landed on the governor's desk this morning. We want to discuss this with the person who drafted this proposal. Cook County Commissioner Richard Boykin is with us. Thanks for being with us, sir.
Well, look, thank you very much. I'm honored to be on the show.
Well, we're honored to have you because I think anyone who's got a potential solution to this issue, especially someone who's knowledgeable like yourself and has followed this issue and been trying to be part of the solution for so long, has what you think is a solution, it's good to hear. Tell us more about what it is you want to do.
Look, today I actually delivered a letter to Governor Bruce Rauner's office urging him to declare a state of emergency in the city of Chicago and in the county of Cook relative to gun violence. Now, that declaration of emergency will allow for federal resources to flow to help stem this tide of violence that we see in too many parts of our city on the west side and on the south sides of Chicago. There are certain communities that have been devastated, overrun, if you will, by gangs and by gang activity and by violence. Just yesterday, a 16-year-old kid on his way to school got shot in the face and killed by two individuals. This kid who was killed, no gang ties, a good student on his way to school in the morning. And so basically what you have is you have a state of emergency. You said it at the beginning. Look, 51 people were killed from gun violence in the month of January alone. 292 people were shot in January alone. Most of the violence is occurring in communities that are overwhelmingly Black or Latino, and these people, these individuals in the community are poor. But what happens is that the entire community becomes terrorized as a result of this violence. And so what we did is we asked him to declare a state of emergency, much like the governor in Michigan did for Flint.
With the water crisis Flint, there.
Right. In Flint, they were drinking lead-tainted water or bathing in lead-tainted water. Here in Chicago, individuals are being shot up with lead bullets, so their bodies are being riddled with lead. And so what we're saying, there the federal government has stepped in. They're triaging the situation. They're providing leadership. What we're saying here in Chicago, in the county of Cook, there is a vacuum of leadership. There's a vacuum. So in the state, there is a paralysis from lack of having a budget. We don't have a budget. We've been 8 months without a budget. In fact, many of the violence prevention programs are not being funded by the state because we do not have a budget. People are being put out of work as a result of that.
Commissioner Boykin, I guess some people would say that those weren't working that effectively to begin with if you have this many people shot and this many people killed in our city. I want to ask you about that because obviously if this would work and the governor would accept it and it would move forward, that a state of emergency in the city of Chicago in these particular areas would open up funds, which is what you're saying would help. And yet, what would you do with those funds? I think that's the issue, because we've heard of other public officials in the past say, let's call in the National Guard, let's do something drastic like that, and it's been rejected by the communities. They don't want it to be a militarized state. They don't want that kind of police presence in their neighborhoods. What do you do with the money to really make the difference?
So I'm totally opposed to calling in the National Guard, because I think there's so many things that we can do before getting to that point. So first of all, what we would do with the federal resources is I'm calling on the federal government to set up what we call tactical neighborhood stabilization teams coordinated by the federal government, and that would be using federal agencies like Health and Human Service, Education, Housing and Development, Homeland Security, and Small Business Administration to help come in and stabilize these communities. There are so many needs in these communities. Many of these communities that I'm talking about that have been terrorized for so long are suffering from depression, suffering from mental illness, their housing needs, there are all sorts of needs. But the federal government needs to come in and take the lead on that, because the city, of course, the Chicago Police Department, has lost all respect in many of these communities. And, of course, the mayor is wounded because of the Laquan McDonald video and other things. But number two, what we would do is we'd ask federal law enforcement support. And so we'd ask federal units of law enforcement to provide resources to the Chicago Police Department, and that is the FBI, the Federal Marshal's Office, others, to assist the police in clearing homicide cases and increasing the number of police officers on the street.
But we would say, when you say increase it, does that mean the federal agents would actually also patrol the streets and be an active role in the community?
Absolutely.
Have you heard any pushback about this? Because every time something like this has been suggested in the past, the pushback has come from the communities who say, we need a friendlier relationship with our police. We don't need federal agents in town in their militarized gear. We don't need tanks in Englewood. This is the kind of thing that they're rejecting.
Well, I'm not suggesting tanks in Englewood. I'm not suggesting people in militarized gear. What I am suggesting is people who have the competency to solve some of these cases. The DNA Info reported earlier today that 26% of the cases are being cleared by Chicago Police Department. They have a 26% clearance rate, which is basically abysmal.
But doesn't that kind of go back? You've heard about the code of silence, that people don't want to turn in a gang member for fear that they're going to get shot or their families are going to get shot up. So you don't rat on a gang member. You've probably seen how people who do that have been treated in certain communities when they do that kind of thing. They cooperate with the police and they say, hey, I know who did it. I'm going to stand up and be the citizen who turns that guy in. They suffer for it, or their families do. And don't you think that has something to do with the clearance rate being so low?
Look, I think it may have a small part to do with it. I can't gauge how high it is, but there should be a high clearance rate. Basically, what you have is individual cases going unsolved, and so you have shooters who continue to shoot ad nauseum, and they basically aren't fearful of being caught. And so you have a community that's gripped by terror. Mm-hmm. People who are fearful to walk down the streets. In America, that should not be the case. Now, we invest billions of dollars overseas to go after ISIS or ISIL and fight them. How is it that we can defeat ISIS overseas and we can't even defeat the gang members who are controlling or terrorizing our neighborhoods here in the city of Chicago?
Commissioner Boykin.
Unconscionable.
Commissioner Boykin, this is Graham Elliott, and you know, I agree 1,000%. I was mentioning earlier the fact that this happens in our backyard in one of the largest metropolitan areas in the country. It's insane that in other war zones that the U.S. is involved in, more people are being shot here than there, and people turn a blind eye to it. And we know that there's some systemic issues going on, especially on the south and west sides. If you bring in some of the federal agencies to assist, do you think that that's something that they're going to help with immediately in the short term, or is there a way they can leave infrastructure that the city can then be, you know, handed over and be able to help continue that?
Look, I think when the federal government comes in after a declaration of a state of emergency, they come in and triage the situation. They come in and provide immediate, you know, guidance and leadership, and just having them present and having the agencies there, I think, will lift the hopes of the community. The third thing that we're asking for the federal government to do is to provide an emergency economic investment package. In other words, to provide emergency funds to immediately engage residents in the areas with the highest levels of unemployment and violence in job training. Mm-hmm. So many of these communities have been devastated because they're high unemployment communities. They're high poverty zones, and we saw the release of a report by the University of Illinois last week that showed that nearly 50% of black males are either unemployed and out of school, ages 16 to 24. And when the Cranes did an overlay of where the highest levels of unemployment are, they also saw that's where you have the highest levels of violence. And so it's no secret. Look, we know what to do if we'll have the will to do it. And so policymakers, people in positions of decision-making, they have to make it up in their mind that this is what they're going to do, that we're going to stop this gang violence. We're not going to allow the gangs to run Chicago or to run certain neighborhoods in Chicago, but that we're one Chicago, and what's good for downtown is also good for Austin. It's good for East and West Garfield. And we want to make sure that everybody's thriving in Chicago. I mean, many of these places where I'm talking about, if you go there, you'll see they're depressed areas. Many of the people are suffering from, you know, from being terrorized.
No question. So let me ask you about that.
To do something about it,
Commissioner Boykin, because I think your point is a good point about how the war on terror, we've largely prevented terrorist acts in America since 9/11, with few exceptions. But our war on ISIS does seem to be going better than our war on gangs in our neighborhoods, and people are dying. Would you label the gang members domestic terrorists? Because I think one of the distinctions here is there are different rules overseas than when you're dealing with American citizens about how you can fight this war. And would you call them terrorists, the gang members?
Well, it sounds like you've been reading my 7-point plan.
I read some of it. I tried to do some research here. So you do call them terrorists. Is that right?
No. Let me tell you, so individuals who shoot in the neighborhoods indiscriminately. So if you got an individual who's shooting into a crowd of people and he or she hits five people, I think they ought to be labeled as a domestic terrorist and charged as a domestic terrorist. Mm-hmm. Individuals who killed Tyshawn Lee, a young African-American male, they lured him into an alley and executed him execution style to send a message to his father. Those individuals ought to be tried and charged as terrorists. Now, State's Attorney Anita Alvarez can do this. This is not something that you need a designation from Washington to do. This is already on the books that you can do it. In fact, some of the NATO protesters, I understand, were tried as domestic terrorists that caused some mayhem here in Chicago. So this is something that she can do. I mean, she's been unwilling to do it, and obviously it's an election year. And so, you know, given the Laquan McDonald case and given the whole pendulum, if you will, swinging towards prisoner rights and stuff like that, I think people are reluctant to do that. But our number one obligation as elected officials is to protect the citizens that we represent. I wish people took that same level of commitment that we want to protect people from terrorist attacks abroad. Well, I want to protect them from terrorist attacks in their neighborhoods. Because, see, I also understand this, that you can't have meaningful economic development in certain parts of our city, East and West Garfield, Englewood, Auburn, Gresham, and others, unless you secure the streets. Mm-hmm. So companies are not going to come and invest in those communities because they're afraid, one, they can't afford the insurance rates. They're afraid they're going to get stuck up and robbed. They're afraid that their workers are going to get shot and killed in the parking lot. And so they're not going to come to those zones of terror. We got to secure the streets, and we must do it without delay. And so I encourage and urge Governor Bruce Rauner to take his commitment, the oath of office that he took seriously. Let's protect all of the citizens of the state of Illinois, especially those in the city of Chicago and the county of Cook.
I love that you're thinking outside of the box and looking at your press release, especially number three, emergency economic investment package, I think is something that that needs to happen, you know, immediately. And I know that you're saying the triage, get it in here, get this stuff cleared out. And then that infrastructure is going to be such a part to have the lasting effect. And I agree. You know, I live on the south side. I get to drive through these areas and see how there's nothing there as far as opportunities to really pull yourself up and create these businesses the way that things are currently at. So to be able to come in and step that up and offer it, a lot of times politically you don't have that political will, or it's seen as a sign of weakness, where I think asking for help, in this case the federal level, it's a sign of strength. And, you know, I really do commend you for coming out and kind of having this idea.
I do,
too. Pretty awesome.
You came up with this comprehensive plan, and we'll see where it goes. You've sent it to the governor. It landed on his desk. Have you heard back from anybody in the governor's office as of yet, Commissioner Boykin?
Well, look, I expect that the governor will digest this and he will get back to us in short order. Mm-hmm. I think he's a fair man. I take him at his word. I know a lot of the people who work for him and work with him. And so I expect that he will get back to us in short order, but I think it's a serious issue. And now the governor of Michigan, Rick Snyder, waited for 2 years to declare a state of emergency. He allowed people to drink lead-tainted water for 2 years before he decided to declare a state of emergency.
Right, reprehensible.
Now, I hope that this governor does not do that. Look, in 2015, we led the nation in terms of people being shot and killed. Chicago did. I'm not proud of that fact.
Nobody's proud of that. It's not something any of us would like to continue.
Almost 3,000 people shot in 2015. Mm-hmm. 2,986 shot, to be exact.
Commissioner, I'm sorry, we got
500 killed.
Thank you. Thank you so much for telling us about the plan. We appreciate the time you're taking. We got to get to traffic here. Will you do us a favor, though, and let us know when you hear something back, if something's moving forward or what response you get from the governor's office?
Absolutely. I'm delighted to always come back on. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.